Back to Ms. Bell, where this guide began. It's a Tuesday in late November. The room where the circle meets is a little cold. The folding chairs are the kind that never sit right, and 5 months into this work, the novelty has worn completely off. She drove across town in rain to be here. She's got a paper bag of cookies because she remembered someone had a hard week, not because she wrote it down, but because she carries these people in her head. Two members didn't show. One shows up 30 minutes late and doesn't say why, and Ms. Bell sets out the cookies and runs the circle and locks up afterward and walks to her car alone in the rain. She does not post about it. Nobody thanks her. She just does it. Here's what Book 5 is about. Not the dramatic moments, not the big speech that turns everything around. The quiet Tuesday in November, when nobody's watching and you show up anyway. Before we get to the heart of Book 5, let's stand back for 1 second and see what these 5 books together have built for you as a keeper. Book 1 gave you the center, the real thing a person needs underneath all the surface noise, the core that doesn't shift just because the mood does. Book 2 gave you the shape of doubt, how to sit with a person who's unsure without rushing them past what they're really feeling. Book 3 showed you how giving works when it flows in a loop instead of bleeding out in one direction, and why the keeper's job is to keep that loop alive. Book 4 handed you the build, the step-by-step of taking someone from an idea into a real circle of people who show up for each other. And now, Book 5. This one is the foundation underneath all of them. Not because it comes last, but because without it, the other 4 don't hold. You can know every framework, run every session, teach every tool, and none of it sticks if the people you serve do not trust you. And trust, the real kind that holds through the hard weeks, cannot be argued. It can only be earned. One Tuesday night at a time. Here's what Book 5 says, and it sounds simple until you really sit with it. A signal only has value when it has a cost. Think about what that means. Anyone can say, "I'm here for you." That's free. It takes 3 seconds and 0 sacrifice, so people hear it and they file it away under things people say. What people actually believe is what cost you something. The keeper who drives 40 minutes through bad weather because someone had a rough day. The keeper who remembers the hard date, the one the member never announced but mentioned once, sideways, 6 months ago, and sends a quiet note on that day. The keeper who's still running the circle in month 9 when the original energy has faded and the people who were just curious have drifted away. That showing up is expensive. It costs time, convenience, comfort, the evenings you could have spent doing something easier. And because it's expensive, it signals something that words never can. I am actually here. Not just when it's easy, but when it costs me something real to be here. That signal gets through. It's the one that people carry home from the circle and remember a year later when they're trying to explain to somebody else why this thing changed them. Now let's look at the other path. Because a lot of people come into keeper work with a wall of credentials, and they expect that wall to do the trusting for them. And it doesn't. Here's why. A credential is cheap in the sense that matters. Not cheap to get, maybe, but cheap to present. You show the certificate once. You say, "I trained in this," and the certificate is right there. Nobody had to watch you do anything hard. Nobody had to see you stay when it would have been easier to leave. So the credential gets noticed, filed, respected. And it earns a kind of starting goodwill, a kind of, okay, this person probably knows what they're doing. But that is not the trust we're talking about. That is a short-term loan. The real trust, the kind where a person will tell you the thing they haven't told anyone else, the kind where they'll stick with the circle even when their doubt flares back up, the kind where they'll bring their person in because they believe in what you're doing. That trust is not in the credential. It was never in the credential. It's in what you did last Tuesday when the room was half empty and the weather was bad and nobody would have known if you had just stayed home. Let me bring something in from the world of biology here, because people have known a version of this rule for a very long time, long before anybody named it. When researchers look at how animals and people signal that they mean what they say, they keep finding the same pattern. The signals that actually work, the ones the other side actually believes, are the ones that are too costly to fake. The peacock's tail is heavy, inconvenient, and makes it harder to run from anything. But that's the point. A short, cheap tail could be grown by any bird, healthy or not. The long, costly tail means, I am genuinely strong enough to carry this and still be here. The cost is the proof. The same rule turns up in people, quietly, all the time. We don't fully trust the friend who's never had to do anything hard for us. We trust the one who showed up at the hospital, who stayed on the phone at 2 a.m., who kept coming back around even when the friendship was inconvenient. Not because we're testing them, we don't do this on purpose. It's just how the deep part of trust actually works. The keeping has to cost something, or the kept won't believe it's real. V.E. Vir E. Phi, general principle supported broadly in evolutionary biology and real-world studies. Do not cite specific author names or studies before published review. Now, I want to take the real worry seriously here, because it's the one keepers actually feel, and if we wave it past you, we're not being honest. The worry is this: if showing up is the thing that earns trust, and showing up costs, and I keep paying that cost, won't I just wear myself down the way the one-way well wears down? Isn't model the commitments just another way of saying give until you break? That is a fair worry, and it deserves a straight answer. There are two very different things that can look like showing up from the outside. The first is one-way carrying. You are the well, everyone draws from you, nothing flows back, you run dry. That's not what Book 5 is asking you to do. The second is showing up as part of a circle where you're also being kept, where other people are carrying you on your hard Tuesdays, where you have your own people who show up for you, where you're not the one-way source, but the steady center of a flowing loop. The keeper who burns out is almost always running the first shape. The keeper who lasts is running the second. The ask of Book 5 isn't to become a well with better stamina. It's to be present, reliably, inside a circle that also holds you. So what you give is always part of something coming back around. So let's watch what Ms. Bell actually does, because the theory is nice, but the practice is where it lives. She comes to every circle Tuesday. Not most, every. When it's inconvenient, she notes the inconvenience privately, and she comes anyway. And here is what has started to happen over 5 months, almost without her noticing. People arrive early now. Not because she asked them to, because they want to be there before it starts. One member started bringing homemade bread. Another started keeping the chairs in order at the end without being asked. A third called Ms. Bell when her own mother got sick, not for the circle, just because she wanted Ms. Bell to know. None of these people gave Ms. Business. Bell a certificate. They gave her something harder to earn and more real than any certificate. They let her in. They started keeping her in return. That is what happens when a keeper shows up long enough and at enough cost. The circle starts to become what it was always supposed to be, not a thing. Ms. Bell runs for people, but a thing people do together, with Ms. Bell as the center, it turns around. The trust didn't come from a single great moment. It came from 40-odd Tuesday nights in a row, each one an installment on a debt that nobody made a contract about, but everybody feels. Here's the thing that makes Book 5 a keeper's book specifically, not just a good general truth. In an ordinary circle, you can wait and see, hang back, see if other people show up, then decide if you trust the thing enough to invest. People do this all the time. We hold back until we know the water's warm. But a keeper doesn't have that option. If the keeper waits to see if it's safe, nobody else will go first. The water never gets warm, and the circle never forms. So, the keeper goes first. Not because it's fair. It often isn't. Not because it's easy. The early months almost never are. But because somebody has to model what the thing looks like before anyone else will believe it exists. You're the one who shows up before anyone's shown up for you. You're the one who treats the circle as real before it is. You commit before the commitment is mutual, and you keep that commitment in the absence of giving and receiving long enough for giving and receiving to become possible. That is the keeper's distinctive move, going first and holding position while everyone else catches up. And when they do catch up, and when they do, it will feel like something you've been building for years finally becomes visible all at once. The trust will be there, solid, underneath them, because you put it there. All right, let's get personal for a minute. Because this guide is about equipping you, and equipping means being honest about the ways we quietly avoid the costly thing. Here's the question I want you to actually sit with. Where are you currently using a credential, a skill, a title, a past experience to do the trusting for you when what the people you serve actually need is you in the room with them more often? You might be using your training as a reason not to follow up personally. You might be using the framework from Book 3 as a substitute for the simple act of showing up at the thing someone said they were dreading. You might be using your role to put a professional distance between yourself and the slow, expensive work of just being present with the same people week after week until they stop wondering if you'll still be there next week. This isn't about self-criticism. It's about noticing where the work of trust is actually waiting. Because the credential isn't wrong. The distance isn't always wrong. But it doesn't do the work that presence does. And if you've been in keeper work for a while, and you feel like the trust in your circles is thinner than the effort you're putting in, there's a good chance this is the gap. The thing you haven't paid yet. So here's your last give of this guide. And by give, I mean it in the Book 3 sense. This is something you do that puts something real into the flow. Not a test. You grade yourself on and report back. This week, find one commitment to the people you serve that costs you something small. Not a sacrifice. Not a gesture toward martyrdom. Just one thing that is slightly inconvenient, slightly outside the official role, slightly more than what you were technically required to do. Drive to the thing you could have called in for, remember the date, and send the quiet note. Show up early and just be present in the room before the agenda starts. Keep the standing thing standing even on the week when part of you is looking for a reason to let it slide. Do it quietly. Don't mention it. Don't make sure anyone noticed, and don't use it as a test. I showed up. Let's see if they reciprocate. That framing turns your presence into a transaction, and trust doesn't grow in transactions. You're not depositing into an account you plan to draw from. You're just building the road, one Tuesday at a time, because the people at the end of it are worth the walk. That's all. That's the whole thing. That's the keeper's way. So let's close where we started. Ms. Bell. It's Tuesday again. The room is cold. The cookies are out. Two chairs are empty. And she's running the circle and locking up and walking to her car in the rain. She doesn't know yet that in about 6 weeks, a member is going to bring her little girl to the circle because she wants her daughter to meet the woman who kept coming back. She doesn't know that someone is going to pull her aside one night and say, quietly, I need to build one of these in my neighborhood and I want to learn how from you. She's not showing up for what comes after. She's just showing up because this is the thing she said she'd do, and she does what she says. That's it. That's Book 5. and it's also 5 books, a keeper's guide, and every idea we covered from the center to the build to the way trust actually forms. All of it in service of one thing, the person standing in front of you and the circle they need. Go keep yours. Watched over, as always, by Daisy.